We all have to fight battles in this world. I was listening to the radio on the way to pick up Sheldon, and the guy was talking about battles that we face in this life. Now, perhaps you're here today, you might be facing one right now. You might be going through a severe trial, a severe battle that you're facing. We all have to face battles in this world. At times, you know, whatever it is you're going through, you might feel helpless, hopeless. You don't know how things are going to develop. And you know, and those things, that those challenges that we face in our society, in this world, they're going to bring you to a point of breaking. They're going to bring you to a point that you feel like, I don't even know what else to do. You feel insecure. You got doubts in your own head. Stress level is high. Anxiety kicks in because all the things, all the battles that you might be facing right now. Perhaps you might be feeling like the first king of Israel felt. For about 2 months, he had no idea what he needed to do. But he had this huge, huge, gigantic problem that he needed a solution for. And he, as a leader of the nation, was clueless. He didn't know what to do. And so were the people that he was leading. King Saul had a huge problem. And that problem came about because of a battle between the Israelites and the Philistines. He felt anxious, clueless, hopeless, helpless, insecure about even going against the Philistine army. Really, the problem Saul had is, we can give that problem a name. It was somebody named Goliath, a Philistine champion that came and defied the armies of the Israelites. In 1 Samuel, the prophet Samuel gives us the overview of the story. You and I know King Saul was the first king of Israel. And according to scripture, he reigned for 40 years. But during that time, early in his reign, he has to face a tremendous battle. You know, when countries go to war, you know, usually before they go to war, they got to make sure that we can win this war because we don't know how things will develop. So the Bible says that at one time, there's the Israelites on a hill and the Philistines army on the other. And there was a huge valley between. But they were just engaging and lining up for battle. War is never fun. King Saul did not even know because this man, Goliath, he had challenged the armies of Israel. And it was a good challenge because what Goliath was doing was, instead of just having so many casualties of people dying, just bring a man from your army and I'm going to fight from my army. If you beat me, then we all become your slaves. But if I beat your champion, you become our slaves. So it's better, like, you save more lives like that. So Goliath, day after day, the Bible says that he would stand and defy the armies of Israel. For 40 days, the Bible says, day, morning, and evening, he will come and told the armies of Israel, give me a man brave enough to fight me. If that man beats me, we, Philistines, we become your slaves. But if I beat that man, you, Israelites, become our slaves. Saul was clueless. He was panicking. Nobody in Israel was brave enough to come against this gigantic man, Goliath. I mean, when you look at the stature of this man, it was like about 9 feet tall. And the only one tall in Israel was King Saul. He wasn't going to go and fight him. Nobody was brave enough. Imagine the army of Israel. They were just panicking, fear. We're facing this battle and nobody's brave enough, strong enough, courageous enough to go against Goliath. Goliath became King Saul's headache for more than a month, 40 days to be exact. I mean, perhaps you've been there, like you had no idea how you're going to be able to overcome, or somebody's going to help you. You cry out to God as, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't know what else to do. But we have a situation here, situation named Goliath. Now, it's interesting, King Saul, he thought about doing something because, okay, we got to do, he created what I call an incentive. He created this idea to motivate people. Perhaps somebody in the army of Israel will be brave enough to go against Goliath. What King Saul did was this. He decided that he will give a lot of riches to any man in the army who will come and face the giant. Riches, the Bible says great riches. He will also give his daughter in marriage to the one who came and fought against Goliath. If you overcame, because if you're dead, you're not going to get married. So, but if you overcame Goliath, Saul will give that person his daughter in marriage. And also, one thing that we all will love, tax exemption. There will be tax exemption in the land of the whole land of Israel for that person who beats Goliath and the whole family. They will never, ever have to pay taxes again. With three things like that, great riches, marriage, you have marriage in the royal family and tax exemption. No one even dare to come against Goliath, because my friends, we're talking about this battle is huge and this man is huge and intimidating. No one was brave enough to go against him. Even with that huge incentive, King Saul was really afraid. Let me just take you to the text in 1 Samuel 17. I will just read verse 8 through 11. Talking about Goliath. It's Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your slaves or subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistines said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all Israelites were dismayed and terrified. That battle that he was facing brought a lot of fear to the king, and not just to him, but to the whole army of Israel, to the whole nation. Imagine a nation in fear. You know, fear paralyzes you. Fear, I mean, you cannot do anything. Even your dreams will be damaged because of fear. You will not dare to take a step because you're afraid. And so imagine, for the first time in the history of Israel, they, for 40 days at least, they're clueless. They don't even know what to do because they have this gigantic problem named Goliath and the Philistines. And it's like, now as a nation, we're just stuck. Fear will get you stuck very easily. I don't get it sometimes. The nation of Israel, God's chosen people, they are afraid to face this battle. What happened to this great nation? What happened to the children of God, you may ask? You know what happened to them? They just forgot who they were. You know how it is. Sometimes you're facing a battle and you forget who you are. You forget your own identity. If the Israelites, if we go back and see the history, God always been fighting for them, by the way. God delivered them from Egypt, from Pharaoh, in a mighty, powerful way. And later on, I mean, God provided judges through the book of Judges. Joshua took the Israelites to Canaan. And then after the judges, Samuel was the last judge. And then the monarchy came, the kingdom and kings. Saul, the first king. And now for the first time in the history of Israel, they are at a crossroad. They are stuck because they are fearful of this man named Goliath and the Philistine army. What is going on with Israel here? What's happening? What happened was they forgot who they were. They just looking at the size of that man named Goliath. They forgot about that they belong to the armies of the living God. Just like us, we forget at times. We have a problem and we just go around, running around. We don't know what to do because we, at that moment, look at the problem and think he's bigger than the God we serve. That's what happened to the Israelites. That's what they're trembling with fear. Goliath seems so huge, but they have forgotten that they belong to God. They're the children of God, for goodness sake, and they forgot. You see, when the leader of a nation walks defeated and faithless, so will those he leads. Saul is intimidated by the giant, so is the nation he's leading. No one was brave enough to come against Goliath. During that time, for 40 days, morning and evening, he would come and challenge the armies of Israel. "Give me a man to fight me." No one was brave enough. Now, it's interesting because throughout the Bible, you see that God will use the most unusual situations to deliver his people. When you least expect it, God always shows up. You know, he always does that with things that it's not even, you don't even expect that God would do something like that, and he doesn't. So that's how we are introduced to this man, this young man named David. David, he was a brother. He was one of eight kids. And three of David's brothers, the oldest ones, They were part of the army of Saul. So they were there. They heard the words of Goliath. They serve in the army. David was a shepherd of sheep. And his dad, Jesse, would send him back to the camp, to the war, just to check on his brother. Go check on them. See how they're doing. See they're fighting the Philistines. See if the war already started. And bring report back to me how your brothers are doing there. We are given the names of David's three elderly brothers in the text. David of Bethlehem. So look at what he says. Verse 13 through 24. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had eight sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's three oldest sons followed Saul to the war. The name of the firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shema. David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and every evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to the camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit. See how your brothers are doing. Bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistine." Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistine were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. I think of all the things that we read, the key in this text is that we have somebody new in the camp now, a young man named David. Goliath comes out. Now David got to hear what Goliath said. And David took that personal. David took whatever Goliath was saying. I defy the armies of Israel. David took that very personal. Because look what he does later on. He was ready to go and fight him. Then he says, verse 24, "When the Israelites saw that the man, they all ran from him with great fear." Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt the father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done to the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" There's somebody new in town now named David. Yeah, he's young and maybe inexperienced, but he's ready to go fight this gigantic man named Goliath. Why? David took his challenge very personal. Now, why is David, what is it? What was it about him that gave him so much confidence in the midst of a battle, in the midst of trials and turmoil? What was it about him? Everybody else was shaking in their boots, but David was brave enough and said, "I go fight him." I don't know if you're getting this thing, but it's like a full army. We're talking about thousands of people. A shepherd boy comes to bring some cheeses to a commander and check out on his brother. And when he hears the words of this man, he says, "I go fight him. Just bring him." Out of thousands of people, just one brave enough in the armies of Israel, and he wasn't even a soldier. He was a shepherd boy, and he said, "I go fight him." Who does he think he is? Now, what was it about David that he can have that confidence when everybody else was shaking? What was it about David that he wasn't fearful, that he was fearless? He's ready to fight this warrior, this Goliath. You know what was it about David? David knew exactly who he was and to whom he belonged. David knew that he belonged to God. That's how he was trained in the family. Now, mind you, David's older brothers, they were there. They were not brave enough. They're not ready to go fight Goliath. And this shepherd boy comes to town. The first thing he hears, he doesn't care how he hears the words of this man challenging the armies of the living God. And he says, I go fight him. David trusted God. I mean, I know a lot of times, even in our money, we say in God we trust, but we deceive ourselves. We don't really trust God that much, do we? Trusting God to that point that, you know, you will face that battle with confidence because you know that the one you serve is bigger than any obstacles and problems you have, that's faith. That's trusting. And David's ready to go and fight him. And he asks again, what will be given to the man that go and kills him and remove that disgrace from Israel? Oh, what's going to be done is you get riches, you get the king's daughter in marriage, and your whole family will be exempt from taxes. Bring it. He's ready to go. Confidence. I mean, this man was incredible. This young man, the youngest one, by the way, in the whole army, and he's the one, the bravest, ready to go fight. Like I said, well, did I mention that David really trusted God? I mean, you see that in there. He knew that he represented the Lord. The nation of Israel had forgotten that they were the children of God, and David had to come. He's the only one who remembered, who truly kept his identity as a Jewish individual, one who belongs to the Lord. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What David is saying is, who is this foreigner that he thinks he can come and talk trash about our army, knowing that we serve the living God? Who does he think he is? He doesn't realize that we are the children of the living God. You see, there's no identity crisis when he came to David. You know, sometimes, my friends, when we face difficulty and challenges, we tend to forget truly who we are. We've been given a new identity. But even when we go through those battles that we face, the battles are so severe and we just come to a point of breaking. We don't know what to do, but we forget who we are. We forget that we serve a God that's bigger and stronger than any problems you and I can have. David had a huge trust in God. I mean, look at verse 32 through 37. Somebody told King Saul that there was now somebody in camp that was willing to go fight the champion of the Philistine. Somebody told Saul, so they bring David to the palace, not to the palace, to the king. And he says in verse 32, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. He's ready to go and fight. King Saul says, you're not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. You're only a youth, some translations say. And he has been a fighting man from his youth. I mean, statistically speaking, you don't have a chance, David. There's no way. The odds are against you. Why even bother? I mean, what we're risking here is that you're going to get killed and we're going to be slaves to the Philistine forever. There's no way you can do this. You're a young man, a boy, and he's being a fighting champion from his youth. Like I say, David's the only one. He says, don't lose heart. Don't panic. I go fight him. Even the king did not think that David could possibly be victorious in this battle. The strength of your faith, my friends, is measured during the adversity. How strong your faith is, you're never going to know how strong your faith is until you experience a battle. It is in the midst of the battle that you're going to come out and say, like, I guess I'm strong enough. You're never going to know how strong you are until you have experienced something like this. And you see, the Israelites are panicking. They had no idea. David's like, his faith still intact. He's ready to go. Somebody said the worth of a soldier is never known in time of peace, but it's a time of war that you get to know truly how worth your faith is and how strong the strength that you have is. King Saul did not even think it's possible that David could even have a chance against this man. What the king did He dressed up David for battles. Like, okay, go fight him. The Lord be with you. But let put on you some armor. Because if you look at the description of Goliath, he's covered. In fact, it says that the armor that he had weighed like about 150 pounds. That's more pounds than David. Just the armor that this man is wearing. Way more than this young man. And he had a shield bearer. And he had a javelin, a sword. And David, what was David? He's a shepherd. He's never used a sword in his life. He never used javelin and things like that. That's why, statistically speaking, you're going against all odds. I mean, you know, it's impossible for you to be victorious against this man. You're only a boy, and he's been a fighting champion from his youth. David knew he served a God who cannot be broken down to a science. David knew that the God he serves is way bigger than Goliath and the whole army of the Philistine. Look at David's resume right here. The king said, okay, you're only a boy. I mean, what can you offer? And now David's going to tell him what he's done in his years as a shepherd. Check out verse 34 through 37. Then he says, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. Did I say that David trusted God? I mean, look at what he says. He's just going to be like one of those lions and bears that I fought and killed. And now, look at what else he says. It's, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. David recognized that in his battle as a shepherd, fighting bears and lions, rescuing sheep from their domain, it was God who gave him victory. He recognized it was God who delivered them from lions and bears. Those are the animals he fought against as a shepherd. And he fought them with a sling and a shepherd's staff. And as I said, he, Goliath, just is going to be like one of those lions and bears that I fought. The Lord deliver me, and the Lord will deliver me from him as well. That's trusting, my friend. It's unparalleled trust that this young man has in God. And we see that. We see his writing in the Psalms. Psalm 18, 2 and 3. David's talking about, and some of the things he said is amazing. He says in Psalm 18, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am, what? Saved from my enemy. The Lord rescued me from bears and lions. He will rescue me from Goliath. He's just going to be like one of them. I'm ready to go. Then you go in Psalm 20, verse 7 and 8. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord, our God. They are brought down, they are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Have I mentioned that David trusted God? I mean, it's just like amazing that this young man is willing to go fight. All because he's not seeing just the problem. He's seeing the one that's way bigger than the problem. And you know, our problem is sometimes that we just see the situation, we see the difficulty, and we panic, and we got fear and things. David see, yeah, it's a difficulty, but the one I serve is bigger. The one that I have my faith, my trust in, you're nothing compared to how big he is. We sing songs, our God is greater, our God is stronger, but sometimes, I mean, sounds good. It's just that sometimes we have a tough time believing that. Because when we see the situation, when we go into that battle and we panic and the battle is taking hold of us, and for like 40 days, the Israelites had no idea what to do until David showed up to camp and now he's ready. You know, King Saul, okay, go. May the Lord be with you. But apparently that wasn't enough because King Saul said, you know, let's dress up David for battle. Let's make him into a soldier now so that he can go and fight Goliath. Look what he did next. He dressed up David in an armor and put a sword. Hang on, let me. Verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on a sword, his sword over the tunic, and tried walking around because he was not used to them. It was too much for David. And he said, I cannot go in this. You see what King Saul is doing. He said, yes, may the Lord go with you, but you're going to fight a champion. You got to fight like he does. You got to be dressed up like he's dressed up. And so he put armor, a helmet on David, even a sword. Was David a soldier? No, he was a shepherd. And what do you and I learn from that? In fighting your own battles, you cannot pretend to be somebody else. In fighting your own battles, you cannot fight it like somebody else. You got to fight your battles like you are. If you are a teacher, you fight it as a teacher. If you are a nurse, you fight your battle as a nurse. If you are a man, you fight it as a man. If you're a woman, you fight it as a woman. You cannot pretend to be somebody else because that battle is yours. And God will use your skills and abilities and talent. Whatever it is you have, He will work through you, not when you pretend to be somebody else. David could not go and fight a battle pretending to be a soldier because he wasn't a soldier. He was a shepherd. And what was David's weapons? He grabbed what he knew, sling and a shepherd's staff. That's how he fought lions and bears. He said, I'm going to go fight that man the way I know how to fight. And I love because we miss the irony of the scripture. David, he's fighting a man. He got 5 stones. You know what I discovered in the Bible? David, in his reign, he ended up killing 4 more giants. Goliath was the first. So 5 smooth stones he grabbed from a brook, and then his sling, and you know he's uncovered as a shepherd boy, and here comes this man dressed up. I mean, he's only like, maybe the forehead was the only thing uncovered that Goliath had. Where are you going to hit him that you can do some damage? I mean, that man is coming against you, and you're going to go as a shepherd? Yes, when you fight your own battles, you have to fight the battle like who you are. You cannot pretend to be somebody else. David could not go dressed up as a soldier because he wasn't a soldier. He's going to go fight him as a shepherd, with a sling, 5 stones, you know, he got the shepherd pouch, you know, put the stones in there, and a staff. That's what he did. You see, he said, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. Then he took his staff, verse 40, in his hands, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put him in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand, approached the Philistines. He's going to go fight Goliath. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over, and now, you see, he saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome. And he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? Now he's bullying David. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I give you flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. I mean, Goliath cannot believe that the army of Israel, the best thing they had was this little boy to come fight. I mean, come on, that's disrespectful to me. He probably thought, like, really, am I a dog? You come with me with a stick? I mean, come on. I want to bring a man. That's what he's been asking for 40 days. Bring a man. And what the Israelites, the best thing the Israelites have was this shepherd boy named David. And Goliath cursed David by his own Philistines' gods. But look at the confidence of this young man. Goliath's going to go with David with all the things he had, but so is David. He's going against Goliath with everything he had, and he has more in his favor because he has a God that's way bigger than the armor that Goliath is wearing. This is what David said to the Philistine. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'm going to strike you down, and I'm going to cut off your head. Now, they're just talking trash to each other. But look, David's talking based on God. So you had no idea who you're messing with. That's what he's telling. You had no idea what's coming to you. Because Goliath now, I mean, he's trusting his own, you know, his skills. He just sees that little boy. He's like, oh, man, I'm just going to, you know, you're going to be splashed as a bug, like a bug. There's no way you're going to win this battle. But David's looking at God instead of the giant that he's facing. So I'm going to strike you down and cut off your head. Today, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And those gathered here today will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle belongs to the Lord. I mean, look at the confidence of this young man. And I love it because, yeah, he's like, I'm going to fight you as a shepherd with my staff and my sling and a stone. And you come against me with all the things, all the gadgets you have, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, Elohim. The one that you dare to defy today. You're challenging God's army, but I'm coming against you against you in the name of the Lord. I mean, we sing, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. He wrote that song. The Lord will hand you over. I mean, look at all the things that he talks about God. You come against me with javelin, but I come against you in the name of Yahweh. Yahweh, the Lord, will hand you over to me, and I will kill you. Verse 46. The world will know that there is a God in Israel today because of the fighting that you and I are going to have. And then he goes on to say, everyone will know that God doesn't need a sword or spear to save. Everyone will know here today that it's not by the sword, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Everyone will know that, really, the battles that the Israelite army face is really God's battle. We're fighting. He's fighting for us. Everyone will know that there is a God among us. You see the story, David struck the Philistine. I mean, he just ran. It's amazing because this young man, the Philistine is coming toward him. He's just running. I just picture David just getting ready with a sling. He just let it go and struck the Philistine right in the forehead. Perhaps the only uncovered part in whole Goliath's body. And he says that the stone sank into his forehead. And there, kaploom, there goes Goliath. David triumphed over Goliath. He says, without a sword in his hand, only with a sling and a stone. Look what he says towards the end of, all the way to verse 50. Verse 45 says, 48, the Philistine moved closer to attack him. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him, running to meet the challenge. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into the forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. Now David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head. He said he was going to kill him and cut off his head, didn't he? And he did. He triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Because David knew the battle that I'm going to fight, the battle that I'm facing, they're not my battles, they're God's. And he just trusted God himself to go against this man. And he removed the disgrace from Israel over being triumphant over Goliath. The Lord gave David victory. And God, my friend, will give you victory when you have the confidence enough to face any challenges you have. But you do it with confidence because you know that your God is bigger and stronger than anything, any obstacles you will face, any battles that you're fighting right now. Your God is bigger. And what you got to say to whatever it is you find is, you come against me, yes, right and left, there's so many things, you know, trying to disturb my peace. They come against me with all they have, but I come against those obstacles. I come against those challenges in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God whom I serve. And God definitely will give you victory. And will you trust him that much like this young man? Any obstacles we face as God's children, we must face it courageously because our Lord is stronger, greater, bigger than any difficulty we might face in this world. Only God gives the confidence to be brave when everyone else is shaking in their armor. Your battles are his battles. Your struggles are God's struggles. Your difficulties will be God's difficulties. God knows the battle you're facing, my friends. He knows what you're going through right now. But he also expects you to have the confidence that David had, the trust that David had in God, to face those challenges courageously, knowing that he will fight for you. These things are coming to me left and right, but I am confident in you, Lord. I come against them in the name of the Lord, the God Almighty. I mean, we sing, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. If he is with us, who can come against us? Now, more than a song, I think, you know, that has to become your anthem, really, that this is how much you trust the Lord to face anything you have in this world. This needs to be truly lived out as you face battles in this world. Are your giants keeping you down? Are you overwhelmed by the battles you're facing right now? Are you being fearful, just like King Saul was? My friends, in order to overcome them, we must stand in the name of the Lord. I cannot emphasize that enough. In order to overcome anything you're going through right now, you have to stand in the power and the strength of the Lord. Like David said, he's my rock, my fortress. And just like I battle lions and bears, I would battle that man because I'm not going alone. The one that I serve is way bigger than that. You must trust in God. God will give you the victory when you stand in his strength. When you truly trust him enough to face the giants courageously like David. My friends, never underestimate what God can do through you. And never forget that I don't have to preach the sermon every other year. The battle you're facing is not your battles. They're not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. And when you have that faith, he will give you the victory.